Testing, testing. Sibilance, sibilance.
Hello, Cleveland!
Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. This is episode 512. No, it's 512. I changed the number, but not the date. Because I'm stupid. Eh. This is episode 512 of Monday Night Magic.
Here on the MTGcast Network.
Wait, hang on. This all sounds very familiar.
Here on the MTGcast Network.
Is there an echo in the building?
Brought to you by Echo Costs.
Building.
It's called Overload in Hearthstone.
Oh, less than a minute.
We already have one of those.
A minute?
Well, we have many of those, but we also have Overload. So.
Or a Hearthstone.
We don't have any of those. That's stupid.
I have a bunch of those.
You do?
No. Well, I hope you're honest for everyone.
How much does it cost to get one Hearthstone?
It's free.
Oh.
That's why you have so many.
So then how much does it cost to get two Hearthstones?
They're all free.
I can get all the Hearthstones for free?
All right, anyway, so... I'm Chewy, failing miserably at keeping us on track. I am joined this week by a very late and somewhat giddy for reasons unknown Clues.
It's because I had some really good Thai food.
Ooh, yeah, that would make me giddy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Hey, hi everybody, how are you? We have all the Hearthstones here on Hearthstone Night Magic.
And Squeeze here too, presumably against his will.
Here on MTGcast Network.
Oh my god.
I just wanted to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you. Ah, no. The slow roll.
Too
yes.
Late. It doesn't count if it's a week late.
Yeah,
somebody is listening to this back to back because they missed out on last week. So that one's for you. If that one helped, please tweet at the Mana Pool and let him know that you were glad that we concluded that joke.
Gee, thanks. Okay, so let's talk about some of those there magics.
Yes, strap in, folks. We have a doozy of a show for you tonight, probably going 4 hours.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Legacy?
I love
Too bad.
Oh.
What about Modern? How do we like Modern here?
Everyone knows tolerate my opinion Modern.
That doesn't matter either, because there's no Modern. It's all standard all the time, as long as all the time means twice.
That is all the times.
Because New Grand Prix New York City happened.
New York City.
Where everyone's your friend in New York City.
Yeah, but not where everyone knows your name, because that's Boston.
That is Boston.
And
do not confuse the two. That will not go well for you.
In they either really direction. So 2007 players were at GP New York.
So you're telling me that there were the same number of players as a tournament in, say, 2007? Or,
like no? I said, he's oddly giddy.
Hey!
I think in 2007, this number would have been something akin to, like, 700.
It's amazing. Yeah. Look, if you're ever in East Lansing, Michigan, I recommend going. Or actually, there are some in Ann Arbor as well. No tie. It's an amazing tie place.
You heard it here, everybody. Clues is in favor of no ties.
Feel free to ID. I don't care, particularly if you're playing against top.
I was going to make a bow tie joke, but whatever.
Hashtag stop. Oh, hey, that would have been better. Yeah, okay.
That's where my brain went.
I'll allow it. See, I just take bow ties for granted. They're obviously there, so.
I got
New York.
I don't even think about them anymore. Grand Prix New York.
Yes, where Seth Manfield took it home. You know, Seth Manfield, the currently, well, before this win, number one ranked player.
Nice.
That sounds like a pretty impressive title.
Was Grand Prix New York actually in New York?
I mentioned it. Someone was talking to me about it, and they said, it's at least somewhat close enough to be considered New York.
So at least as good as GP Atlanta?
Maybe. Probably way better than GP DC when it was like 40 miles from DC.
Yeah. Aren't we all part of DC? No, that's not right.
Anyway, so Seth Manfield was playing white-black control, which is the one with lots of planeswalkers, and everything else is removal and disruption, and, well, some token making.
You got your
Gideons, you got your Obnixiluses, Nixili, you got your Sorins.
Sorai?
Sorai?
Sorin Grim Nemesis?
Grim's
Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Don't forget your Transgress the Mind.
First Contact is better than Nemesis.
For the people who are yelling at us, yes, Grand Prix New York was in New Jersey.
It was?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Was it like at least close? Was it nearby?
I am pulling up a map now.
Okay.
I was actually kind of kidding when I made that comment, but all right. I feel totally justified. No, I feel full. Yeah, that's the Thai food again.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I am not mousing over Transgress the Mind this time.
Well, suit yourself. You're lost.
Oh, there's so much better it could have been. It's so close to Hell's Kitchen. Oh, it could have been GP Daredevil.
That'd have been all right.
Yeah, it's just across the Lincoln Tunnel.
So at least it was close.
It's close enough.
Nelson and Murdoch.
All right. So second place, Luis Del Toro playing this deck. Just in the coverage for these two GPs has like six names.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating. We're like, oh, what's this deck? It's this again.
It's the same one.
But it's like they got in the habit of screwing around with all the color combinations and they just need to have that creative outlet.
I guess. So this one's called Four Color Cryptolith. But it's a cutthroat deck. This one has Cryptolith Rite and the Brood Monitor combo that we discussed before and Reflector Mage. There's your four colors. Reflector Mage is the fourth color.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's another Aristocrats deck, although I hate that. So it's another Zulaport Cutthroat deck. There you go. Although, oddly enough, this one is not playing Nantuko Husk.
Hmm. It is, however, playing Elvish Visionary, the Knight of the Magical Light. No? Anybody? Visionaries? Nobody? All right, never mind.
Reference nope, I got nothing for you, buddy.
Cartoon.
All right.
I can dig
clues.
Up YouTube video.
You are no longer allowed to have margaritas before recording or Thai food.
I was going to say, I didn't have any margaritas, although margaritas and Thai food. Yeah, I like where you're going. I'll get back to you on this.
I don't know how those two things at the same time sound. Next place, Scott Lipp playing this deck again. It's that one again. It's very popular. Yeah. Michael Majors was playing Green-White Tokens with two Tragic Arrogance and two Evolutionary Leap, but other than that, it looks like pretty much the same deck, right?
For the wonders of, like, just general Green-White Tokens glory, yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out Green-White Tokens just runs a lot of really good green and white cards.
It's
Hagar
crazy.
Walker might as well be green and white.
So next up, Siggy Mike Sigrist is playing also Green-White Tokens, but this one, okay, hang on, let me back and forth here.
There's no Arrogance.
Yeah, there's no Tragic Arrogance. It is running Lamholt Pacifist, and it's got Secure the Wastes instead of Evolutionary Leap, and Dromoka's Command instead of Oath of Nyssa. But it's still a Green-White Tokens deck. Like,
yeah.
It just has a slightly different line of play. Which running Declaration in Stone, too? Was Majors? Oh, no. Majors is running Dromoka's Command and Secure the Waste. They're just in a different place on the stupid...
Yeah.
Essentially
trading out two Tragic Arrogance for two Declaration in Stone.
Yeah. So. Oh, okay. There's the Oath of Nyssa. Okay, sorry. I was expecting these to be in the same place. My bad.
You and your expectations.
I know. I hate it when I expect things to work properly.
Not on this website, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, my bad. So next up, Daniel Ward is playing another white-black control deck. Wait, how does it... This is a different deck. This is that other white-black control deck. This is running less planeswalkers and actual creatures.
Yeah.
Hangerbacks, Ailey, Kalitas, and Avacyn. And also a bunch of removal and... Disruption and Secure the Wastes for tokens. But it does have 10 creatures, so that's different.
Yeah, that's something. And it also has the, you know, the fun of it to just straight up attacking you with a Shambling Vent because it's killed all your creatures.
That is true.
Is it far too late to go back and make a Lee Majors joke?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Don't you know Michael Majors? Or is that someone else?
I don't think so.
thought there was a Majors that played it at Atomic Empire.
In Durham, North Carolina? It's a great shop. You should check it out.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh.
But maybe not.
Never heard of it.
Brandon Ayers is in next place. I haven't even finished. Seventh place. There we go.
Next
playing
green
white tokens again. A more also green white tokens.
Now and, with Raven Inspector.
Yay. And then Ralph Batesh, let's say, is playing Grixis Control, which is a deck we have seen before with Chandra, Dragonlord Silumgarda, Gimme That, Flippy Jace, Dark Dwellers, Kalitas, and then a bunch of removal and disruption and card draw and commands and, yeah.
Yep.
You know, what you'd expect. Nice. So that was the top eight from New York. If we... Hang on. New mic picks up. Hey, I have a new mic, by the way. I didn't announce that on this show because it's the first time I've recorded. I got a new microphone.
So new microphone.
If I sound better to you, it's not just in your head. You're not just falling more in love with me. I actually do sound better.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. So there was some cool stuff in the not top eight, but we have to go find it again. There's...
Is that what we're calling it now, just the not top eight?
Yeah. There's more Grixis Control, more green-white tokens. Oh, yeah, here's another one. This one's called Displacer Combo.
Yeah?
But it's actually a little different because it's running Pious Evangel.
Does the normal one run Traverse the Ulvenwald?
I don't think so.
See, the problem with all of these decks being similar is that we know the card pools, but the numbers and which times things come and go is a little harder to remember. Because I've seen it in the deck before, but.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those things where it's a tuner's paradise. Like, if you like to make little edits to an existing deck to get your edge, then this is a great one to do it with.
Oh, this is totally the one to do it with, yeah.
Is there a podcast called Tuner's Paradise? Because if not, Squee says you're welcome.
Oh. You can have it if you want it, but I really hope it's not about guitars.
Wow.
You do not make a podcast of you tuning your guitar. Everyone.
It could be a combination music deck tuning podcast.
Go get them, Spruik.
Anyway, moving on. 14th place. Hey, here's one. Abzan Seasons Past.
Oh, I was hoping for goblins.
No such luck there, my friend.
Standard goblins?
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, you remember that Seasons Past deck that Finkel played that then did not appear in the next week?
Yes.
Well, it has evolved some, and so now here it is again.
Yay.
This one's running two Sorin, two Kalitas, or how did we figure it? Kalitas?
Kalitas.
Yeah, there we go. Whatever. Kalitas! And a Flippinissa. And then a bunch of removal and disruption and dark petition and seasons past. Oh, and this is renewal.
A curve of value and murder is what the deck is running.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, here is this other deck. Sam Black's Black-Green Aurora Control. People who are patrons of mine and get the odds and ends, will get to hear Bill and I look at this and be like, do what?
Yeah, you get to hear us mumbling our way through the card list and like understanding what all the cards do and trying to figure out what the deck does. Like, the practical, not the obvious, like, well, obviously, you know, it kills a bunch of things, then it casts a Great Aurora, and then gets a bunch of cards. It's like, well, yeah, but, like, what does the deck do?
And
that's the ideal line of play, but...
It's described as a strange mashup of... This is in... They did a deck tech. It's not a video deck tech. Because apparently the coverage for New York was non-existent for a very long time. We'll let Clues tell us what he knows about that, because I didn't know about that. But it's a combination of the Duskwatch Recruiter Ramp deck and the Seasons Past Control deck sort of smashed together. And it's very strange. It can do the like mid to long game thing really well with like growing a Tireless Tracker or ramping out a big scary thing. Just playing lots of removal and staying alive.
Having more cards than you.
Yeah. Or it can go really weird and play the Great Aurora as Sam Black put it, essentially you play the Great Aurora and you restart the game on turn 5. And since you're playing a control deck, you win. Because if a control deck can start the game on turn 5, then they're going to win.
Yeah, if you're turn 5 in a control deck and you've actually got lands out untapped and a whole bunch of cards, the game's going to favor you. On top of that, like, it didn't occur to me when we were looking at it before, but this is actually one of those really entertaining win more scenarios where you actually get the Obnixilus emblem and then you resolve a season's past. Your opponent's probably just outright dead. Like, oh, I'm just, or not a season's past, a Great Aurora. You're like, and between us, how many cards do we draw? Yeah. You just got Kool-Aid manned.
Oh yeah. So yeah, this deck, Sam Black, was playing is a trip, and I highly recommend you guys check it out just because, like Bill and I kept saying in the odds and ends, we know what each card does, we know how the bits work together, but we couldn't see the big picture. And we're still not clear on it, but we have an idea now from reading the deck tech. So yeah, it's
one of those things that if I can find someone actually playing it in a YouTube video or something, I might actually watch it because I'm curious.
Exactly. So that's a thing. Let's see. More tokens, more control, more four-color rights. Naya Planeswalkers, Brandon Fisher in 20th place, is running Nissa, Voice of Zendikar, Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, and Arlen Kord. And then, I mean, basically a green-white deck after that. Sylvan Advocate, Hangerback.
Green-white card, do you expect the deck?
Yeah. Sylvan Advocate, Hangerback, Avacyn, Declaration in Stone, Jamrocha's Command, Secure the Way, Oath of Nissa. So, yeah, it's Naya Super Friends. Yay. More of these, more tokens, even more tokens, more Grixis Control. Wasn't there something at the end? Oh, yeah, Willie Adel in 26 is playing White Eldrazi.
Which is neat.
This is cool. So he's playing 3 Gideon, and then Avacyn, and Hangerback Walker, you know, like you'd expect. And, of course, Declaration in Stone, 2 Tragic Arrogance, 2 Stasis Snare, 2 Secure the Waste. You know, a bunch of stuff you'd expect in white. And then Matter Reshaper, Hedron Crawler, Eldrazi Displacer, Reality Smasher, Thought Not Seer, Spatial Contortion.
Yeah. I think this is probably one of the best examples of taking those statements of, well, colorless isn't just another color, and going, yeah, it is. Because in this deck, it is. You're playing a white colorless deck.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not just attacking another life total.
Deep thoughts with clues.
He's reveling in his Thai food. More four-color rights. More Grixis Control. More Grixis Control. Really? Oh, here we go. I knew there was something later. Rob Pisano in 30th place, is playing Jeskai Control.
Yeah. Got Nahiri.
Yeah.
With Chandra. And they're both just burning stuff.
A full set of Nahiri and 2 Chandras. And Flippy Jace and Dragon Master Outcast.
Back in time to make a mess.
And then a bunch of madness. So Avacyn's Judgment. Yeah, remember that card?
Yeah.
Nagging Thoughts, which I had to read twice because I don't draft. So I was like, what is this card? That's, in case you also don't know, 1 in a blue sorcery common. Look at the top 2 cards of your library, put 1 in your hand and the other in your graveyard. And it has a madness of 1 in a blue. And then, let's see, Declaration in Stone. Descend Upon the Sinful, one of those. Radiant Flames, Fiery Temper, because madness. Ojitai's Command, Negate Fiery Impulse. Yeah. Just all of this good stuff that works really well together. Plus, you know, Planeswalkers and Flippy Jace and Dragon Master Outcast. Which seems really funny, as Bill said earlier, with an Ojitai's Command.
Yeah, like that was the gimmick earlier on when Dragon Master Outcast first came back. You're like, oh yeah, what are you doing? Cool. I'm gonna counter that and get an outcast, and I guess I'll see you on the upkeep.
Oh, look, a Dagron.
Isn't that amazing?
John Agostino in 31st place has the super aggressive human, mono white humans deck. And that looks to be about it for New York.
Yeah.
So yay. So let's go over to GP Tokyo.
Yay.
Where 3,335 people showed up to play Standard
That is a lot of people.
It is. It is the largest standard Grand Prix in the history of Japan. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Indeed it is.
And I'm afraid I'm going to have to turn this over to Bill because...
sneeze time. And also Japanese.
Let's go with that. Mostly. It's probably the Japanese. But I... ooh, man.
It is both of those, actually.
These deck lists are not in order in the drop-down.
Hard what? Mode.
Yeah. This is like the real Super Mario Brothers 2.
Wow.
Yep, sorry. Had to go there.
Bust out those lost levels, huh?
So that means there's no floating princess, and it's unfair. Got it.
That's right.
Good old poison mushroom death on the first level. That'll teach you to go for the mushroom. Stupid little dead Mario.
You greedy little plumber.
Was it for you? All right, so... first place, we have Riku Kumagai, who is running, let's see what the drop is.
Naya
Midrange.
Naya Midrange.
And this deck is cool.
Oh, look, Linvala made it to the main.
Yeah, she did. So it's, again, running three Nahiri and a Chandra. But then it's white-green deck that looks like fun.
So, yeah.
Elvish Visionary, Sylvan Advocate, Flippy Nissa, Tireless Tracker, who is just a beast, as we've said before.
Wait, is he actually a beast?
No, it's a human scout. Archangel Avacyn, Linvala the Preserver makes it to the main deck, and then, just because, Dragon Lord Atarka.
You're in the colors, you're drawing land. Atarka. Yeah.
There's Irradiant Flames, and then Oath of Nissa, Silkwrap, Stasis Snare.
I like to think that Linvala made it to the main by... tricking Gideon, who was hanging out in the sideboard looking all confused. Like, what am I doing here? The angel told me to stand here. Huh. So that's neat. Alright, so second place, we have Kazuchige Suzuki, who is running...
Grixis Control.
Grixis Control.
And it's a pretty normal Grixis Control deck. Yep.
Excitement.
All right, who's next?
All right, third place goes to Takuma Morifuji.
He's playing green-white tokens.
Tokens. I hear those are popular.
Yeah, it's pretty much one of the two main choices for this current meta.
Yeah, it's a good one. Run good cards and win, you say?
Huh.
All right, fourth place, we have Carlos Ballester.
He is also running, this one's called white-green tokens, you know.
What?
Actually, so was the other one.
What?
It just doesn't roll off the tongue as well, so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, fifth place, we have Kazuki Yada.
He is playing it says black-green aristocrats.
It means cutthroat.
Oh, it is. Okay. It's, in fact,
a Cryptolith Rites deck.
Yeah, but it is just the two colors. It's got Duskwatch Recruiter. There's no, Brood Monitor combo or Displacer or any of that. No Reflector Mage.
The more straightforward one. But it also has Vile Redeemers in it. I don't know what those do either.
It makes more dudes that you can sack.
Oh, good.
It's a 3-3 for 3 with Flash. When you cast it, you can pay a colorless. And if you do, you get Scions for each non-token creature that died under your control this turn. So that's a... did I win yet? No? Huh? Now I win.
Yeah. Seems valid.
Sack all these dudes, cast that guy?
No, sack all these dudes, you die, because you've got Cutthroats out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying to reload the...
cast this guy. Gotcha. Okay, the Redeemer itself.
Yeah, sack all these dudes, cast this guy, get a bunch more dudes, sack those dudes, you're dead, I'm going to lunch.
That does sound like a plan.
Yay, lunch.
Ooh, I recommend Thai food.
All right.
But not if you're recording a show later.
Eh, it'll be fine.
All right, sixth place, we have Takaya Saito.
Takaya Saito is playing white-black humans. Now, this is one of those decks. It's the mono-white humans deck. It does have three Gideons. and Griff's Boon and Always Watching.
And Three Kiddians.
And Three Kiddians, yeah, that's true. Don't forget, or sorry, we should call him by his real name once in all, Kythion. Or Kithian, whatever.
Kithian, yeah.
But it's all
of
those.
I like to think that's Ross Boon. But that's where his actual name came from.
What? My name. So you look at all this and you're like, that's a mono white deck. But over here in the land, there are two shambling vents.
Yeah.
And in the sideboard, there are two more shambling vents. And in the sideboard, there is a full set of Anguished Unmaking. That's where your black comes from in white black humans.
Yeah.
It's like mono white humans with a little bit of swamps.
And admittedly, because the Cave of Koilos can come in untapped, it's not costing you all that much, with the exception of maybe an awkward Knight of the Bright Orchid turn or something.
True.
You're probably fine. Like, oops, I ping myself. That's rough.
Darn. So, yeah. Not so much with the actually being a white-black deck.
All right. Seventh place, we have Kensuke Kato.
Well, what's he playing? He's playing another Grixis control deck.
Goblins, though. There's some Dark Dwellers.
Yay.
Yeah, I love how it starts off. Chandra Flamecaller. And then it's Flippy Jace.
I'm sorry, did you mean Flippy Jerkface?
I'm sorry, yes, Flippy Jerkface. I mispronounced that. My bad.
In my notes, it just says card name. I don't understand.
That's so weird.
All right. And finally, rounding out the top eight, we have someone whose name I am going to pronounce wrong. I was betrayed by this list, Chewy. Ing Chu Heng?
Oh, okay. He is running the four-color... See, this one's calling it four-color company, but it's the Cryptolith Rite, Cutthroat, Brood Monitor, Displacer, Collected Company deck. Yeah.
The standard combo deck, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So, I'd probably want to play it if I were playing a standard deck right now, just because.
Because how often do you get to play a straight-up combo deck in standard?
How often do you get to play a combo deck that's also just a normal good deck?
That
is Usually
true.
You have to go all in on it and have to have a bunch of Protect My Combo cards. In the case of this one, you're not really doing much at instant speed, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're cocoaing at instant speed.
Yeah, which is important, but, like, you're not sitting back on counter spells or any of that nonsense. You're just playing good cards and then killing them.
Yeah, yeah.
And occasionally you just get to go, oh, by the way, combo.
So, yeah. That's the top eight. If we keep going to the not top eight, which we have 9th to 16th, there were a couple of things. Oh, yeah, there's a Sultai Seasons Pass deck in 9th that Yuki Ichikawa was playing.
You guys remember Sultai?
Yeah.
It's that thing that Clues won't say.
Except for the times that he forgets and says it.
It's totally not ringing a bell for me, Sultai.
What else? Oh, there's a Bant Humans deck. Yuya Watanabe in 10th is playing Bant Humans. Which, it's a white-green humans deck using, you know, the stuff you'd expect. Thraven Inspector, Knight of the White Orchid, Thalia's Lieutenant, Tireless Tracker, Lamholt Pacifist, Knight of the White Orchid, I think I said that already, Duskwatch Recruiter, you know, all the stuff you'd expect. And then Reflector Mage, because that's fair.
Because human.
And it's also running Dromoka's Command, Ojitai's Command, and Collected Company, of course.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Shintaru Ishimura is playing Red-Green Ramp. I actually had to stare at this for a while because it's so straightforward that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Is it a Red-Green Ramp deck?
It is. It's running Deathcap Cultivator, Hadron Crawler, and then Traverse the Ulvenwald, Ruin in Their Wake, Explosive Vegetation, Hedron Archive, Oath of Nyssa, you know, those things. And it's ramping into, well, there's Tireless Tracker, too, because, you know, it's a beast. And then Chandra Flamecaller, Dragon Lord Atarka, and Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger. And what else do you need?
I appreciate going 4-in on Chandra Flamecaller.
Yeah, that is nice.
Like, that is the plan now. Have some elementals.
Then let's see. Hey, look, a Bant Company deck. Remember when those were a thing?
There was a point in time.
Yeah, well, here's one in 13th, Yuta Takahashi. That's cool.
Here's another black-green aristocrats, another white-green tokens, another four-color company. See, that's what they're calling it here. And there you go. That's the top 16.
All right.
But hooray. There's a thing here. By the way, Clues, you sound robot-y as all hell.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, testing. Do I sound like a robot?
No? Little bit.
Little bit? Okay, that's a shame, because it's an important time.
It is, and you've cleared up now a bit.
Hooray!
You have drawn power from the immediate future.
Excellent. Just in time, because I want to send a big, big thank you to Chapman Sim. You know why? Because thanks to Chapman Sim, we have top five cards.
Top five.
Top five cards. Yes, they're back. It's five cards.
Oh, how I have missed top five cards. Number five is Westvale Abbey. Because, well, sometimes you want to make a dude.
Sometimes your land needs to be a flying, lifelink, indestructible haste monster.
I was going to say, sometimes you want to make a really big dude who punches somebody in the face. Please do not punch your opponent in the face.
That's what your cards are for.
That's what your cards are for. Number four is Archangel Avacyn. Because, well, sometimes you want to make all your opponents, well, all the other things on fire. Because I believe that sets your stuff on fire too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? A little fire never hurt anybody who had four toughness or more. That's probably fine.
Wonder what that's like.
Number three, Collected Company. I've never heard of this card. Is this new?
I think it's a serial tie-in. That's why they call it Coco.
Ah, okay. It is Cuckoo. Speaking of Cuckoo, number two is Kalitas. Kalitas?
Kalitas. Kalitas. Yeah.
Headcrab.
The traitor of Get.
Yeah, the totally headcrab.
The headcrab guy. Yeah. Totally the headcrab guy. That one's pretty good. I guess it's been popping up here and there. But the number one card, you ready for this, gentlemen? The number one card in the top five cards? It is a creature land.
Ooh,
and it
ooh,
is.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Oh, man, there's so many good ones. Is it white, black, and have lifelink?
Nope.
Oh.
Ooh, is it a 1/4 that switches its power and toughness?
Nope.
Well, then I have no idea.
It's in the best colors ever.
Oh,
so it's Mardu.
The perfect color combination. It is Needle Spires and it's Boros because that's all you need. Red and white. That's it. Forget those other colors. They're just going to lead you astray.
I like how your color pie is a cupcake.
You're not using Boros, you're probably not punching things enough. So Boros if you can. For those who weren't with us back in Ravnica days, yes, we used to have names for the two color combinations that we don't use anymore, except for Boros.
And even though we're out of the three color combination world, we're still using it.
We are.
Otherwise it's like, you know, blueless Jeskai, and that's stupid.
So apparently, the Needle Spires actually won the championship.
Yep.
By swinging as a 4/3 double strike thanks to Sylvan Advocate. And
I was gonna
that
say,
is insane.
And since most people probably don't remember what Needle Spires does, so enters the battlefield tapped, you can tap to add a red or a white, the correct colors of mana, to your mana pool. For two, a red and a white, it becomes a 2/1 red and white elemental creature with double strike. Until end of turn, it's still a land.
But Clues, when I become Sylvan Advocate, I get a Vigilant 2/3 who becomes bigger when I have lands, right? Isn't that all that card does?
Yeah, that's exactly all that does until it's important and you notice that that's not all that does.
So you're saying someone probably lost really, really hard from not noticing that once during the day?
Oh, I'm sure it was more than once with that many players. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
wait, that bumps lands too?
As it turns out, all of my Sylvan Advocates each pump lands.
Yep. And that is your top five cards.
That never comes up and probably kills people.
Top five
cards.
God, I missed top five cards.
All right.
In Dolby Digital Surround Sound.
What?
In Fantastic Mono, sampled at easily, 32 kilobits?
Something like that.
Yeah.
More than 6 kilobits per second.
So that's standard.
Yep.
Hooray!
That's also all of our tournaments for this week.
Super hooray!
All right.
That's also all of our non-Magic Online news for this week.
That's pretty much it, folks.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Oh, now Clues, what about the coverage in New York?
Yeah, so hey, let's talk about the coverage in New York. So I only got to follow some of the coverage this weekend. It was Mother's Day over the weekend, so I was off visiting family, which was really cool. It was good to see the fam again, but coverage did not start until late in the weekend. It did not start with day one. I believe it started the morning of day two. It was originally slated to start with the top eight on day two, which you might say, hey, that's not really coverage of the weekend. That's just coverage of the top eight. But my understanding is they were planning on having some, how shall I phrase this? Pros who did not make the top eight be part of their commentary team. And so they were kind of waiting for that to happen. And as I understand it, Reed Duke did not make day two and therefore went to the booth instead. So coverage started early. But I can tell you, the Twitters were aglow with folks who were not happy about the coverage situation because they had paid so much for that coverage that they wanted it now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what I'm saying is that coverage does cost money. So okay, let's put it to you this way. Folks out there, let's just take a minute. It's just you and me talking here, okay? Just ignore those other two.
Ignore me.
You and me. Yeah, totally ignore him. Do you like coverage? Do you enjoy watching coverage? Does it help you, you know, be entertained throughout the weekend? Hang on to that feeling that you have from previous weekends of watching coverage, because there's not a lot of coverage from here on out. A while back, they announced that they were scaling back their coverage. And, between now and the next Pro Tour, which I believe is in Sydney, by my count, there are 13 GPs between now and then, and there will be coverage for two of them. Two. Total.
So that would be Columbus or Prague.
Yes.
Which but is not June, both. June 11th and 12th. So. Correct. Middle of June, and then GP Sydney, which is July 30th and 31st.
Yeah. So.
So middle of June, we get one coverage, and end of July, we get one coverage. Then we get the Pro Tour.
Yeah. And by the way, that Columbus or Prague, those will actually be Legacy, which is kind of cool.
Well, at least they get coverage for one of those.
Yeah, for one of them, not both. And then Sydney will be limited.
Hey, so that's one we don't have to care about. Yay.
That's right. Hey, as a matter of fact, we're not going to care about any of them that weekend because, as you recall, every weekend they have kind of a unified front as far as what the format is. So,
also, keep in mind, I just noticed this, that our link here for video coverage.
Yeah.
Or at least the one that I'm using was posted on December 8th of last year, because it doesn't even say Pro Tour Eldritch Moon. It says Pro Tour Sydney.
Yes, it does.
So this isn't exactly current. So it's possible that this might have changed. But
yeah, I don't think so.
But I don't think so.
Based on what I saw on the social medias, also known as Reddit and Twitter. So I don't do the other ones.
Well, I mean, you're doing the two worst ones, so you might as well do them all.
Well, you know, look, somebody's got to get, you know, down there in the trenches for you guys. And that is apparently me, because I am a sucker.
I mean, when you weren't here earlier, I wandered into Reddit, and it was scary.
It can be, yes.
They were very grumpy people.
Hmm.
They downvoted me. I didn't even have a post.
So we get coverage after Eldritch Moon. We get GP Portland or Rimini, wherever that is, the week after, which is August 13th and 14th. And then there's the World Championships in September, and then GP London or Atlanta in October, and then Honolulu. So yeah, they were playing when they said they were scaling it back.
Yeah, they are not messing around.
But that's okay, because Star City still has one every week, so if you really want to complain about lack of coverage, go watch them.
Yeah. Yeah, although I don't know if they'll be able to sustain it. Who knows? This could be a new paradigm. No coverage.
That's not a new paradigm, really. It's going back to an old paradigm.
This could be a return to the old paradigm. Flanking.
You guys like reboots, right? Like, isn't that what all the rage is?
You know, I never really watched Reboot.
You should have. Yeah. You would probably enjoy it. You were the target audience.
It was after my time, I think. Anyway.
And that's what I have to say about coverage. I wish there were more, but there's not.
And it's also possible that they'll do more of the scaled back coverage like we had in New York. Because New York is not listed here.
Oh, I will also say to the folks out there who are now saying, man, I want my coverage. Give me back my coverage. Look, coverage is expensive. And that money's got to come from somewhere. It costs money to hire the talent, whether you like the talent or not, and a lot of you apparently don't. And it costs money for bandwidth, because that is not cheap. I can tell you from the folks who I've talked to who are on the tournament organization side, yeah, getting yourself internet out of a venue is like a bajillion dollars, because they're providing that. It's not like you have competition.
Yep.
And it's not just the talent. It's the people behind the cameras and the cameras. You have to get those to each venue. There's just a whole lot of stuff that people just complaining on the internet don't think about. You remember that Kickstarter that we talked about a few weeks ago to get coverage at some event that didn't have coverage that failed miserably because nobody wanted to give them any money? Well, if you didn't give them any money, then shut up. Why don't you start a coverage thing? And Wizards won't hire you, because who are you? You're just some guy with a webcam. Stop it.
I'm imagining someone showing up and going, my phone has a really good camera, you guys. I'm gonna Periscope this. It's going to be live coverage.
It'll be the hotness.
I'll do the commentary, too. I'll just stand behind people in their games and talk about the cards in their hand and what I think they're going to do. It's going to be great.
It'll be awesome until I'm asked to leave the venue.
Do not do this, even sarcastically.
Yeah, seriously, don't. I mean, if you want to, you know, go and do some guerrilla coverage, look, more power to you, but you should really talk to the TO and the head judge before you try this. And also, seriously, it's probably not a good idea.
So, how about some Magic Online news, then?
Hey. Oh, my.
Hey, MTGO!
This is not going to take very long, because even Magic Online is bored. So, for starters, usual disclaimers. Magic Online news lags about a week, so if you're really interested in keeping up with Magic Online, you're going to have to pull it up tomorrow, Tuesday, on the 10th of May to find out what the actual current news is, because all of my stuff is from last week. So that said, the most prominent thing in the news is understandable, because as I warned you guys, if you're still rocking Windows XP or you've somehow still survived a pre-Service Pack 2 Vista, you don't have Magic Online anymore. It is over. Magic Online updated the .NET framework, and these systems cannot handle it. So if you're on Vista and you still want to play Magic Online, upgrade to Service Pack 2. But note that while you can play it, some players may still be having issues actually making store purchases using credit cards. So they're working on it. Because I assure you, if there's anything they're going to prioritize fixing in Magic Online, it's the ability to take your money. So they're working on it. But yeah, like that's the most important prominent thing going on in there. So most of the news that's floating around in here is just hyping the Magic Online Championships, which I've spoken about before. That's going on in May 15th, which is this coming weekend. They posted a small update announcing that unfortunately two of the players aren't able to attend the event for reasons outside of the control of Wizards and the players themselves. I don't know what those reasons are, but whatever the case, they've both been given special invitations to the first Pro Tour in 2017 in Dublin, as well as Pro Tour Challenge event at that Pro Tour. So whatever the case is with those players, Wizards wants you to know that they're at least fixing it to the best of their ability. So, not sure why that was a public announcement, but there you have it. So that happened. Again, the Magic Online Championship's coming up, so I've talked about that a few times, and there are links to information about it in the show notes, so you can go check that out. Moving on down it, of note, the Year of Modern Flashbacks is continuing on. It picked up last week for the first time since Shadows came out. So until Wednesday this week, you've got Triple Time Spiral with all of the weirdness and goblin snowmen you can eat. And this week they're adding in Planar Chaos, which is where all of the – there are a lot of cards, not all of them, which are – here's an existing card, but we put it in another color. Let's see what happens.
Green Bull Lightning.
Yep. Was that Timbermere?
No. Timbermere was the green, some other kind of mare that was a red horse.
Yeah. It was so cool though. It's a fun set just to look at the art for, because you can see they're like, what if we took this thing and then we made it out of fire? What if we took this thing and made it out of trees?
Groundbreaker. Groundbreaker is green, Ball Lightning.
Yeah.
Thundermare. Timbermare is green Thundermare.
There we go.
Sort of.
Sweet. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Also Damnation, which you probably want to open. So you can certainly have some fun with that. And even more keywords than you probably ever wanted before. So enjoy that. The Shadows of Innistrad Limited and Constructed Championships stuff is going on. The Limited Championship qualifiers are running through Tuesday the 10th. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday, hurry up. If you're interested in the Standard Championship qualifiers, those are beginning this week on Wednesday and running through next Tuesday. So you've got those for your chance to go Magic Online Championship adventure. They also began the Shadows of Innistrad Phantom Sealed Queues and Phantom Sealed Swiss last week. All that information is here in the show notes. I'm not going to dig too far into it. Good times. And they've updated the bug blog, but looking over the bugs that are here, I don't see anything really noteworthy. Like, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, and it forgot to give you this prompt, but it doesn't affect the game. The only thing that's really noteworthy that I saw here is that when some cards with madness are discarded, the triggered ability does not display its madness cost while it's on the stack. You can still find this information by right-clicking on the card or by viewing it in the game log, but just be aware that there's a bug with madness. It's not affecting gameplay, but that could probably confuse you and eat some valuable clock time as you try to figure it out. Everything else on here is not super relevant, but you should look over the list anyway just so that you're aware of what's going on. And yeah, that's the exciting world of Magic Online. There's a link to the event calendar in here. Go check it out if you want to know when all the different things are. Beyond that, Magic Online is still there. Yep. It's just as busy as the normal news.
Which is to say, not at all.
Yeah. So that's been a fun hour of Monday Night Magic prior to Silence Truncation.
Yay.
Weird.
So, don't forget, GP Charlotte is coming up.
Yes.
In 2 weeks. Well,
Not this weekend, the weekend after.
Yes. May 2021-22.
Yeah. And if you're planning on playing in it, go register, because you're not going to be able to register on Saturday morning, and the venue will appreciate it if you register now anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Still no word on HB2, I'm guessing, but hopefully that will get sorted out between now and then.
Well, they're doing other nonsense right now, but I wouldn't count on it prior to Magic.
So. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was away all weekend. I just heard that the Fed stepped in and went, nope, can't do that, right? Stop that. And that's all I've heard.
Oh, well, then North Carolina sued the Feds, and the Feds stepped up and said, oh, actually, we're going to sue you on this one. So,
for those of you who are not from America and are listening to this, yes, it's exactly as dumb as it sounds.
Yeah, totally.
For those of you who are from America, yes, it's exactly as dumb as it sounds. And for those of you that actually live in North Carolina, like Chewy and I do, yes, we're as frustrated by this being as dumb as it is.
Yeah.
So, hooray. But in the meantime, you should still go to GP Charlotte, because we don't know when we're going to get another one. And Chewy and I are going to be there, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to hang out all weekend. Chewy's going to ask you some questions. I'm going to be wandering around. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably try a side event or something, and then the rest of the weekend just be weird and non sequitur like I normally am.
Somebody tell me what the top five cards are.
Do you want us to just go around and find out what the top five cards are, Clues?
Yeah, please, please do.
Okay. In this modern event?
Yeah.
I make no promises.
All right.
It's going on during the modern weekend extravaganza where America has two modern GPs. So.
Oh, where's the other one?
Want to say it's in like California or something.
Well, I just happen to have the GP
schedule. LA. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's Channel California. Fireball is hosting the LA one and Star City Games is hosting the Charlotte one.
Huh. That's some high powered, stuff.
Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see because how often have we had two same format events in this same country?
I don't know.
Like, it'll be interesting to see what impact that has on the numbers. Like, when we were, like, spitballing how many people we thought would attend, I wasn't aware that essentially half of the country is going to be closer to the other modern GP, so the numbers are probably not going to be quite as high as I was guessing.
All right, then.
But we'll see what happens. You should show up for ours because ours has us at it and we'll hang out. It'll be great.
It'll be great.
Yeah, go see those guys.
Yeah, Clues will be underwater potentially while we're there.
That is true.
Drowning the Lord of Atlantis.
Well, I will be.
Not drowning the Lord of Atlantis.
I'll still try.
It turns out my Manapool co-host Mike is not going to be there at all because he sucks.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, so it's just me and Bill, so... But we're still well worth it. Right, Bill?
I mean, I hope so. Do you remember that time when I couldn't make it to a pre-release and then you just said that I sucked for like 6 months? I'm fully expecting you to do that to Mike.
Did I say it for that long? Wow.
It went for a while.
Huh. I mean, I'm already giving him crap for it, so.
Okay, as long as you started early and
all. Yeah, yeah. All right, then. Well, how about
disappointments?
So how about we wrap this up, gentlemen?
Sure. Okay, I'll start because I apparently start. You can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because it was deleted with all the actual news that apparently didn't happen. So want, want, no I's this week or ever. And so past that, you can check out enchantworld.com. I actually have an episode coming out this coming weekend, if you can believe that.
What?
Because I have an interview lined up, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to take any accompanying content that I have with it that is appropriate and make a point of editing it and having it up so that I've at least got an episode out before GP Charlotte. So the topic for this one is something that started on Twitter a little bit ago, and there were a number of people that we're talking about the concept of, well, if all these other fandoms and whatnot get conventions, why doesn't Magic get those? And a lot of the response is, well, we get GPs and Pro Tours and all kinds of other big gatherings. And this sort of splintered into a side thing of like, well, what would you do at a Magic convention that isn't playing Magic? And that got me thinking of like, well, I mean, Chewy and I podcast way more than we play Magic. And there are lots of people who do cosplay and other stuff who probably play Magic, but like this is something that's not playing Magic that they do. So I wanted to see what people do that isn't just playing Magic that involves Magic. So if you do anything interesting on the side, whether it's like card alters or other stuff entirely, I want to hear what you do, because if people ever actually do get the momentum for some kind of Magic event that isn't a tournament, I want to know what you would do there. So if you have any ideas, any stories of stuff you've done, you know, just a nice, simple, light topic. You can go to enchantworld.com and then go to share your story, pick that episode from the drop menu, and you can record something directly through your browser. If you're on a phone or you just don't have the desire to use that, you can always record your own audio file and just email it to planeswalker.squee@gmail.com. I will take it. I will clean up the audio for you, and I will include it in the episode, which, again, I am obligating myself to have that go live this week because I'll have my main interview, and so I won't have any excuses. It'll be awesome.
Nice.
And then I'll see you guys at Charlotte.
I had that thought about a Magic convention. I had that many years ago. The first time I went to an actual big convention, I went to Magfest a long time ago. And I was like, this would be, and I was just attending panels. Cause MAGFest is the music and gaming festival.
Yes.
It's all about video games and music. No kidding. And it was brilliant. And I was like, this would be so awesome to do this for Magic. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, but when you get a bunch of Magic people together, they want to play Magic. So you'd have a convention with a tournament. Well, we already have those. They're called Grand Prix, except that's just the tournament without the convention. It's the tournament and the vendors without all the fun stuff.
And yeah.
I pitched this idea to a lot of people around that time, and everyone was like, eh. I was like, thanks for that. That helps.
Well, yeah, like that's sort of what made it a curious topic for me that I think has a lot more room for discussion than some of the topics normally put out. Because, like, we're going to an event where we're not playing. And I'm getting the impression from Twitter that other people do that too. But a lot of the time is just spent sort of hanging out in the side tables that aren't in use of just talking to people. Or you see a crowd of people playing DS games with each other or other things that aren't really, like, main programming. But since they've recently started doing things like escape rooms or, you know, like we've seen the rise of more and more cosplayers and stuff like that, I'm wondering if we're starting to make a shift over where these can be things that aren't just tournaments. And so I think it'd be neat to hear what other people do. Like at bare minimum, like things like, you know, podcaster gatherings and talking and stuff like that's a lot of fun. So.
So many street passes.
Yeah. One of the things that I liked about MAGFest was that a lot of the panels were from content creators of various flavors. And I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and now that Magic has matured over the years, or at least the Magic content creation, it's not just writing articles or podcasts and that's it. There are any number of steps in between. Yeah, I like this. So people, come up with ideas, send them in to Bill so that he can make this episode and then I can listen to it.
Yay.
That's my ulterior motive here.
Yeah, I've got some minor temptation to just bring board games and see what they do if I just start playing board games with people in the corner. We'll see. It'll be fun. But yeah, so that's what I've got. Go get 'em clues with your underwater adventure.
All right. Hey, if you want to get a hold of me, the best way is at LockLuze on Twitter, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Hey, speaking of which, we have a new episode of Random Discard coming out this week. Recorded late last week, Rich and I had a rambling discussion about topics galore. So look for that in the next day or two. I won't be at Charlotte. Sorry, we had a vacation planned. I'll be scuba diving. I'm not actually all that sorry, because I don't play Modern. Maybe if it were Legacy. Yeah, I think I'd be more sorry if it were Legacy. But as it is, at least you guys don't have to deal with the top.
It's true.
So there you go. Silver linings. No top. I think that's all I have. I'm sorry.
All right, then. Well, then that leaves me. You can follow me on Twitter at the Manipool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. And you can hear me, of course, every week over on The Manipool, which you can find on themanipool.com. And oh my god, I don't want to think about how far behind I am on getting Manipool shows up on MTGcast. Whoops. That was the other thing I meant to do this weekend. So this weekend I went to my grandmother's house, to Nana's house with Mom for Mother's Day, and I worked on the backlog of Odds and Ends, which, if you want to help support what I do, then check out the Patreon. You can get all episodes of The Manipool and my YouTube videos early, if you so choose, and you can get access to the Odds and Ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and The Manipool. It's uncensored and generally unsafe. But I've had serious audio recording issues in the last few weeks, and I haven't taken the time to get caught up and fight with all of those to get the Odds and Ends caught up. So that's what I did for Friday night and Saturday while I was at Nana's house. Saturday night was then, you know, the Mother's Day dinner with Mom and Nana and a couple other family members. And then Sunday I spent at Busch Gardens because I abandoned my mother on Mother's Day and went to Busch Gardens. Which, by the way, if you haven't been to an amusement park lately, go to an amusement park. Awesome. But yeah, one of my cousins was like, hey, we're going on Mother's Day and I have a free ticket. You want it? And I was like, yeah. So that was cool. But, that was the other thing I was going to do was get Manipool posts on MTGcast caught up, but I didn't get done with all of the odds and ends I wanted to do because I was missing stuff. So then I gave up and played Hearthstone. So whoops. My bad, but I will get those caught up. So if you're subscribed to the Manipool on MTGcast, you should probably not do that. You should subscribe directly to my feed because I'm at least 4 episodes behind, possibly more, because I am actually just the worst.
From the Vault Manipool.
Yeah.
Volume 6.
But, yeah, it's patreon.com/themanipool, huh? But if you want to help support Magic Podcasting in general, and not me specifically, then that's fine. You can check out mtgcast.com and click the Support MTGcast button and sign up for a small monthly donation there if you like. Because MTGcast is completely free to you, the listeners. And it's completely free to any podcaster that wants to use it. But it's not actually completely free. It actually costs a large amount of money. So every little bit there also helps. Eventually, the plan is to get MTGcast back in the black. That's AC/DC, right? Back in the black? Because I'm back in the black! Oh no, it's Thunderstruck Regent. Oh, I miss that guy.
Aw. I miss dragons in general. You guys remember dragons?
No. Wait, no, dragons is still in standard.
Yeah, we got to see that explains Silumgar. All the Atarkas and Silumgar.
Yeah, we got to see Silumgar and Atarka in all of this. There were no Ojitai that I spotted. That's weird.
Yeah.
He was just commanding people.
Well, he's good at it.
It's true. So with that, are we done? Is that everything? I guess that's everything. I
think that's all the things.
Yay. So this has been episode 512 of Monday Night Magic. Do you like my new mic? I like my new microphone.
It sounds very nice.
Ooh, thank you. Anyway, this has been episode 512 of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.